Let's read together Exodus chapter 19. In this chapter, we have the covenant of the law proposed and accepted by the people. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 13. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Exodus chapter 19, by considering some background notes. We've seen that the events of Exodus chapter 17 and 18 took place in the vicinity of Mount Sinai. Now here in chapter 19, exactly 3 months after the Exodus, the children of Israel arrive at the base of the mountain. Now we can't be dogmatically sure of the exact location of Mount Sinai today, but the traditional site is a mountain called Jebel Musa in the Sinai Peninsula. You know, I've hiked this mountain a couple of times, and it's an awe-inspiring experience. But this, of course, doesn't prove that it's the actual mountain. However, 2 points in favor of this traditional mountain are found right here in Exodus chapter 19. Number one, in verse 2, it says, The children of Israel camped before the mountain. There is a desert plain at the base of one side of this traditional mountain, which is large enough for a few million organized people to camp, which is not true for some of the other mountains that have been proposed as Mount Sinai. Number two, the granite rocks of Jebel Musa rise abruptly and steeply from this desert plain, so that it could be easily roped off, as we read in verse 12, to prevent the people from even touching this well-defined mountain. Verse 12, once again, You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. And furthermore, this layout would enable the death penalty of verse 13 to be easily carried out without the people touching either the mountain or the sinner, and without the sinner being able to escape into the mountain. In other words, the perpetrator would be shot with bow and arrow or stoned to death against the steep granite wall of the mountain with no way of escape. The children of Israel camped at Mount Sinai for almost a year. Here the Ten Commandments were given, as well as the rest of the Mosaic Covenant. From this point on in the book of Exodus and all the way through the book of Leviticus and for the first 9 chapters of the book of Numbers, the children of Israel are camped at the base of Mount Sinai. They leave Mount Sinai in the second half of Numbers chapter 10. I'm reading from Numbers chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journeys. Well, so much for our background. Let's consider now some doctrinal or teaching points from Exodus chapter 19. Doctrinal or teaching point number one. Under the law, Israel was to be a kingdom of priests. Under the law, Israel was to be a kingdom of priests. Now, when we use the phrase under the law, we mean the time that the Mosaic covenant was in effect. The law or Mosaic covenant was a conditional covenant. That is, there were certain requirements for the people to keep. Otherwise, the covenant between God and his people was broken. Notice the if clause of verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. And verse 6, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So God's initial intention under the law was for all of Israel to be a kingdom of priests. That is, the whole nation would act as mediators of God's grace to the other nations of the world. Because of Israel's sin and disobedience, the nation failed to be the kingdom of priests that God intended, and the line of Aaron from the tribe of Levi was chosen to be the priests among the children of Israel. Because the law was a conditional covenant, and because Israel broke the covenant, the Mosaic covenant is no longer in effect today. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." That is, with the coming of Christ, the time of the Mosaic covenant ended. Christ fulfilled the law. We are no longer under the law. The moral standards of the law are still in effect because God never changes his moral standards. But the civil and ceremonial requirements of the Mosaic covenant have ended. We don't sacrifice lambs on the altar today. These sacrifices under the law all pointed forward to Christ, and Christ has come. Christ is the end of the law in that way. All believers today are priests, and as priests, we offer up to God our spiritual sacrifices of praise. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The fact that believers in the church are God's priests today does not mean that the church has replaced Israel in God's sovereign plans. No, the church is the body and bride of Christ, not a new Israel. The Bible does not teach so-called replacement theology. Even though the Mosaic covenant has ended, God still has plans for the nation of Israel based on the Abrahamic covenant. However, here in Exodus chapter 19, we see God's initial intention for the nation of Israel. Under the law, Israel was to be a kingdom of priests. Doctrinal point number 2. Under the law, Israel was to be a holy nation. Under the law, Israel was to be a holy nation. Verses 14 through 25. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives." Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." But Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, 'Set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it.'" Then the Lord said to him, "Away, get down and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. We see in verse 6 that Israel was not only to be a kingdom of priests, but a holy nation as well. Verse 6 once again, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." That is, they were to be a special people, set apart for God. They were God's treasured possession. Verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. As a holy nation, Israel was to reflect God's holiness and purity. That is why in the second half of this chapter, we have these rigid rules of purification, preparing for the Lord's awesome display of His holy presence on Mount Sinai. The thunder and lightning and fire and smoke, and the loud trumpet sound, and the mountain quaking, and the voice of God speaking only with Moses, all emphasized that God was a holy God, and sinful people could not just approach God in any way they chose, or at any time they chose. Notice from verse 24 that the Lord had Moses and Aaron keep the people away from God's presence. Verse 24, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them.'" What a difference there is for us now that Christ has come. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus." What a great truth. And remember that we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are not only a priesthood, but a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. As God's holy priesthood, we should reflect that holiness in all that we do, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Israel was to reflect God's moral holiness in their physical separation from designated unclean foods and practices and their ritualistic washings, as we see here and in the rest of the books of the law. Under the law, Israel was to be a holy nation. Practical application. Have you experienced the blessing of eagle's wings? Have you experienced the blessing of eagle's wings? Now, by that question, I don't mean, have you sprouted some kind of eagle's wings or something like that? No, I'm referring to the application of verse 4. God said to his people, Israel, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." You know, when young eagles learn to fly, the mother eagle flies under the young birds to catch them when they fall. So in this verse, we have the idea of God's care and protection for his people, as well as their faith and trust in the Lord. God brought the children of Israel to himself. He redeemed them out of Egypt. And now he was caring for them and protecting them in their wilderness travels. He wanted his people to trust him for his care and protection. He would be there for them like the mother eagle for her young. What an application for us as believers. The Lord has redeemed us and brought us to himself. Now he wants us to trust him. He will care for us and protect us. He wants us to get out of the nest and fly by faith. He will catch us when we fall. You can't have the experience of the support of eagle's wings if you are unwilling to get out of the nest. Let me ask you, is the Lord calling you to take a step of faith in some area of your life as a believer? Have you experienced the blessing of eagle's wings?